Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Today on the Revital Health Podcast, I'm joined by the incredible Jordan, co-founder from Mode Healthcare, a conversation I've been wanting to have and bring to you for a long time. Many of you are already familiar with Dr. Maddie from Mode, the other co-founder, who's been on the show before, but this episode takes us into a different layer entirely, the business, systems, philosophy, and genuine why behind a rapidly growing patient-centered healthcare model in Australia. So Jordan shares openly about his personal journey into the health space, including the trauma that shaped his work, how Mode was built from the ground up outside traditional medical model, what it takes to design a clinic that prioritizes outcomes, continuity of care, and real patient connection, the challenges of regulation, dispensary issues, and ensuring safety in alternative care pathways, and why preventative and proactive medicine needs an entirely different structure. The story behind Grow House, Mode's new patient portal integrating prescribing, support, yoga, breathwork, communication, and continuity all in one system, where health is headed in Australia, and why collaboration between disciplines matters more than ever. This is a rich, grounded, human conversation about what innovative healthcare actually looks like behind the scenes. It's about trust, responsibility, systems design, and the real heartbeat of patient-centered care. Let's dive in. On the show today, we have Jordan from Mode. Welcome.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we've had Maddie from Mode on the show, and we've been trying to get you on the show for a little while.
Here we are. I've appeared.
Now you are appeared.
Yeah. I'm out of my inbox.
Yeah, I know. So I was just saying to you off recording that I really wanted to dive into the business of Mode.
Cool.
The business of, it fascinates me how and what you've been through and the businesses you've been involved in and the journey that you've been on. So like from a personal standpoint, what made you interested in this field?
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll give you the dot points because it's okay. Pretty long.
Okay.
My background's design.
Yes.
So graphic design, web design, mm-hmm. led throughout my kind of early, like, late teens, early 20s into helping businesses communicate better.
Yep.
And I could never help myself. So I would have my own businesses on the side.
Yeah.
But most of my businesses were paid for by other clients. And those clients generally just kind of kept getting bigger and bigger. Mm. And then we fast forward a bunch of years and I was 20, let's go 22, 23, I can't quite remember. And I was super stressed on land, I like to say. So at that time I had a little design practice, a bar, a co-working space, and a few other little things, a surfboard store.
Yep.
And yep. I'd go surfing on the weekends to yep. get rid of my stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surfing and a great white ate the guy sitting next to me. I'm not sure if you know this.
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. What? We've taken the turn. That's why I said I'll give you a dot point.
Yeah.
So I was surfing down south. it was Father's Day 2011, and there was an attack, and that happened about kind of 5 meters from me. There's five people in the water, me and three friends, and then another guy, Kyle, who unfortunately lost his life. Now, from that, I'll spare all the gruesome details. There's plenty of podcasts out where I talk about it at length. I developed PTSD. So all of a
Of
sudden,
course.
the thing that I'd turned to, the ocean and nature, for my own kind of healing, was taken away from me. And so I was stressed on land, I was stressed in water, didn't know what to do. And Dr. Maddie was a friend. So I met Maddie kind of a few years, well, similar time actually. Met him at the same time on the beach. He actually was renting a house next to my parents. And one day I was with my dad down the beach, my mom, they're like, "Hey, this is Dr. Maddie. He's from the US. He's just moved over. How you going?" And we became friends. Now we fast forward from 2011 to 2016. Maddie and I are still friends. We'd always figured out that we wanted to kind of work together in some way. Now, at this time, I'd sold some businesses in WA and I'd moved to Melbourne. And I was the entrepreneur in residence at Victoria University. And then I started a consultancy with a really good friend called Gus Bell-Bonton, who'd just left a really senior role at Lonely Planet. And we started a company together. And it was always design and innovation. And the thing that really held us together and the glue was this like saying, which was make it matter. And so any client that we spoke to, whether it was, big banks, the government, a university, or a healthcare company, we were always struggling to find why does this matter? Or we're helping them find the connection with their customer, client, and in our case now a patient.
The wise, yep.
So that's happening and simmering away on the side. And I guess that was what I consider my like true apprenticeship of like big business and how do things work on a national level. I then had this really small contract. It was about 6 months with Ramsay Healthcare. And so we were advising to the C-suite there on what the future of health looks like. Same time at night time, I'm getting calls from Dr. Maddie going, "Hey man, how's, just friendship stuff. Hey, by the way, there's a new treatment that's coming out, medicinal cannabis. I really think that would help you personally with your insomnia and your PTSD." And he quite bluntly said, like, "Would you trial it? Like, I think I'm going to go down this pathway, and I think you're a perfect patient for it." And I'm not really like the drug kind of kid growing up that wasn't, wasn't smoking bongs down the back of the shed. That's just not me. But I'm definitely not,
Stereotypical,
yeah, I'm definitely not anti at all. Like, yeah, for sure, man. So fast forward 2017, first scripts in the country start being written, and I was one of the first ones. And I went from personally, I know this sounds like a testimonial, but this is just my story. I went from like 2 hours sleep at night to getting full sleep. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing.
It's huge.
And not necessarily because of the treatment type, but more of the approach. And Matt and I just started talking from that point. Flip now the other side of the coin. I was advising one of the biggest healthcare companies in the country on what the future looked like. And what I pitched to them looks a lot like Mode now. And at the time, they kind of laughed at me and said, "Nah, not for us. We're really big business and a really amazing business. Like, I don't want to take anything from that." So I left. And then went a few years on from, so 2017, I started helping Maddie, going, "What does this look like?" And remembering the kind of make it matter kind of mantra, started thinking, "Oh, what would healthcare look like on a national level if we just flip the script?" And like, Judy, I don't come from medicine. My dad's a bricklayer, mum owns a retail store. I don't have doctors in the family. Everything's like blood, sweat, tears, make it work. It's not like, "Oh yeah, dad's a neurosurgeon and this," and I grew up around it. So for me, everything was new. From,
Learning right from the
yeah,
beginning.
what's Medicare? What's MBS? How does billing work? You can do this, you can't do that. So navigating it was, I didn't know what to navigate. And now looking back, I think that naivety of my own was probably our biggest strength because I just looked at it as the patient. I want to talk to someone I can relate to. What would that clinic look like? How would I communicate? How would that go? And we started really small with just kind of Maddie in Dunsborough working out of another clinic. And then we quickly realized that our model of care doesn't fit into a traditional space. So we opened our first little clinic that was in Dunsborough as well. And now we've got Dunsborough, Bunbury room here with you, Melbourne and Bangalore, and looking at more locations. And then our telehealth offering's probably the biggest. So yeah, right now we just hit about 11,000 patients that we look after around the country.
It's incredible.
So now I'm happy to go anywhere in this conversation, but at the start, I was really hands-on on the phone, calling a patient, asking what worked, what didn't. And now it's more of like a logistical kind of game of, oh, how does this
Making
work?
everything work.
Yeah, because you don't want to just, like, in my opinion, I don't want to just like attract patients and then have no aftercare.
No.
Like, you,
That's the biggest
that's the
thing.
biggest thing, getting them in step one. But what happens when things don't go right or if they've got questions? So now my role kind of sits a little bit more on the ongoing care and future planning.
And I love our, and I talk to you about this often, about the same ethos, you know, and it's just something that's just a huge passion, but it's so hard, like you said, in a larger scale, to have healthcare in this way. And this is why it's such a struggle for big businesses. And, you know, when I look at it, like I've got many friends in the government sector of health, you know, in the emergency sector of health, and I see the troubles that they're having. And then you look at it from a very simple point of view, going, well, if only they had a better preventative care model, then they will never get to that emergency
For
sector.
sure.
But it's not that simple. And this is why it fascinates me equally as much as frustrates me.
Yeah, all of us.
And I guarantee that's your case as well, especially from where you've come from and have to learn all the nitty-gritty parts. Like I appreciate that so much because I know how hard it is from a business perspective, and then dealing with the current health model and then the difficulties around all of that, and then having patients not know, and then because we've just been trained in this model for too long. And so everyone expects the same type of care, the same type of non-follow-up care, you know. We hear it on the other side when patients are coming in and they're going, wow, you actually do this? Like, this is different. Well, that this should be the norm. This
It
should be
should
how people
100%.
feel. And we see the struggles that people are going through. And you know, every day I have stories of people being let down by the emergency medical model, because there is nothing in between. But
And
then,
the funny thing here, Jodie, is that a lot of our doctors at Mode come, they're all senior, pretty much. They're all senior doctors. Nearly all of them have had long careers in emergency medicine, in emergency departments around the world. And I talk about that to them, and I also share their pain on that side of the fence. They rock up to work, and there's just a stream of people coming through with sometimes really preventable conditions, but the system doesn't allow it. And so there's this constant stream of sick people coming in for reactive care, but there's also not the time to give them a 45 or an hour to really go, hey, what are you eating? What are you doing for mental health? What are you doing for physical health, spiritual? There's all these different facets that the system doesn't allow. But then also on like the business of it, it's such a big beast that then the clinic or the hospital owners or administrators, it's also a numbers game. We need to get the people in through, and that's the evil part that no one wants to talk about. But I
Gotta
really
make money out of
think
it.
you have to make money because everything's expensive, from rent to power to wages, all those things, which that's not going away. But what isn't fair, in my opinion, is the people that we rely on the most, the nurses and doctors. But let's just talk about nurses here. They're super stressed out, they're underpaid, and a lot of the time they're doing a lot of the work. Like, I'm not taking anything away from doctors at all, but the whole system is really
They hold it
stressful,
up, yeah.
and then they become patients. So it's this really sad cycle, and I don't think that there's a way to kind of treat our way out of that cycle. And so my vision with Mode, and I think it's the same here, is here's a new model and it sits alongside. And if you break your arm, don't
Plan
come
B.
here. You totally have to go to the hospital for a broken arm, acute flare-ups, any of those sorts of things. That's that. But what are you doing long term proactively? So people have, a PT, or they might have a life coach or a business coach. I kind of view Mode doctors, naturopaths, nutritionists, anyone that falls outside of the traditional walk in, get a script, see you later, as more of like a health coach. And I'd love, and how I treat Mode, like personally, is because I know the tricks, is I see Maddie's my doctor, and I see him probably 4 times a year, check in, get my bloods done, great, everything's cool. But then when I woke up the other month with, a sore throat or that sort of thing, I know I'm not calling my proactive health coach. I'm going to the walk-in family practice. And I think at scale, if we looked at that, of what is that, 30 million people in Australia, let's call it, if everybody did this, we would lessen the load on those nurses I spoke about, the doctors, and the whole system could rebalance a little bit, because I don't think anyone wants to be sick. And
They don't. And I think it's just that they don't know what to do.
don't
And
know.
this is like, there's no different model teaching us how to look after ourselves. One, we never taught that in school. Two, we're never gone, well, okay, so if this problem happens, you go here. If this problem happens, you go there. And then, but number three is that we'll talk about it in a minute. You know, like the difficulty with this type of model is that no one finds out about it generally until they're actually really in pain or really chronically ill because they're searching or they're asking or they're seeking out other help. Like it's not commonly available. And then it's more expensive in most cases. Well, from a naturopathic nutritional point of view, sometimes with, you know, the doctors that are more like Maddie, you can do some of the Medicare benefits in there, but with others are not. But then there's an affordability factor, right? And so it's not getting easier, put it that
No.
way. Like I've been in this industry 15 years. Like I have not found a way to make this work yet. And it's just about speaking, it's just about talking, and it's about, you know, getting people to talk about it as well. And it's that interreferral. And so larger scale, and I'll talk about it with you in a minute because I want to hear about some of the difficulties because, man, on the ground running trying to get these things and like looking after the legal ramifications, the TGA ramifications, like it's really tricky stuff.
It's really scary. And
It's
it's scary. It's
scary.
really scary. I've had
You're
many
just
sleepless
trying to do the
nights.
right thing and help people, right? It's
And
so
most of the time,
frustrating.
and I understand that this is the shit part.
Yeah.
I understand the rules are there to protect the most vulnerable people in our
Yeah.
society.
Yeah.
And I respect that and honor that.
Yeah.
And so what's frustrating, from my lens is that if we try to put anything out into the world that educates simple facts of what we do, what we don't do, I'm not even talking about treatment. I'm talking or a drug. I'm talking about come to Mode. If you've tried this, it doesn't work. We might be out. There's another option. Because we hear so often of people struggling, and if it's mental health, the end of this is suicide. And so there's been many times where I've gone, I just want to put something out there because I know there's people sitting at home struggling with their mental
And
health,
don't know.
thinking there's nowhere to turn. But you can't because advertising law and those sorts of things. So that becomes really frustrating.
But, and how do you then reach these people if
How
you
do you
can?
read?
Where are they seeking that information? That's what I ask myself. We're a little bit, it's easier for us in some ways because we are not bound by as many regulations, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time. But when you're trying to, help in the way that you're trying to help and get this information out there. So my question is like, what have you tried that you found to work? What have you tried that failed miserably? And then what was the next turn after those things in terms of the business from Mode perspective when you've started?
Okay, so at the start, it was really about, at the start, there was no other clinics like Mode. There was, oh, sorry, I lied. There was like two or three we all started at the same time that were trying to specialize in the treatments that we want to specialize in. I call it like ultimate or alternative treatments, or, and basically for me, that is any treatment that your family practice doctor, first line therapy kind of prone patient has tried, has failed, and they don't know where to go. Hello, we're Mode. Mode, short for modern. This is the modern way. There's another way, and there's an alternative. So there's a few starting at the same time with no rules. So we didn't know what we could and couldn't say. It was very kind of blurry. It's
Wasn't
evolved
clear.
every year. It wasn't clear what you could and couldn't do. The fines are huge if you get it wrong. There's nowhere to turn to if for clarification. You try to talk to regulators and they just send you to a compliance lawyer. You talk to a compliance lawyer and they say, we advise this, but at the end of the day, Geordie, it's up to you.
It's your
You're like,
rep,
well, geez, I just paid you all this money to tell me that it's still up to me. So I kind of got
Trust
frustrated
them
with
with
that.
guidelines,
And so I tried everything and I just had too many kind of sleepless nights and I just listened to my gut and went, I actually don't care what the treatment is or what the drug is. And I wonder if there's more people like me that just want to feel good. And to feel good, I think the biggest component is feeling comfortable with your practitioner and finding someone you align with. And if you can find those two things, I believe that me personally, and I'm just betting that everyone else is kind of like me, you can be more vulnerable. If I sit in front of a doctor and I feel judged or I'm not feeling heard, I'm not going to share everything. And so my, I guess, approach changed, through many failed attempts of, oh, what if we say this? Will that bring people in? Oh, it might bring people in, but it might be the wrong people, or it might be too risky, or it wasn't clear enough. Because that's the other thing. I also don't want patients to book in expecting something that's not going to happen because, well, the doctor still needs to get paid. You've booked the consult. So it's wayfinding. So coming back to my design, I think of this of like, here's a sign to the toilet. Like, you want that to be clear. So that's all I'm trying to do. So now our clear messaging is more on relatability. We want to, I say that we're trying to blur the lines between clinical and cultural. I don't think that medicine should sit in its own little box, or health should sit in its own box, because it cuts apart, it cuts across 24 hours of everybody's day.
Life is health.
Life is health. So is there a way that we can communicate so that people go, oh, they're cool, or I relate to them, or that's interesting, to bring people in? The unfortunate part of this, again, is that doctors are typically pretty shy. It's super risky if doctors are online putting messages out there, and if it's taken the wrong way, they're risking their livelihoods. So then you've got this guy talking about things on the internet that I'm not qualified to talk about. Like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to talk about medical things in its intricacies, but I can help say, hey, if you're looking for something different, then look at this place. There's something else going on. It might not be us, it might be other places like you guys.
But you've been advised as well. This is
Bit
where the
advice.
advisor roles help those who are leading, who are more safe to lead, who
Totally.
have more of that capacity. We're all good at different things, right? And so not many doctors are good at the business side of things.
That's right.
And it's sometimes a really hard lesson to learn that because you can't always focus on patients and business at the same time,
And do you know
right?
what? That's where Maddie and I work so well together. So we started Mode together. And from the start, it's been very clear. I know I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell you how to doctor. And you're not a business guy. I am. That's all I know. So it's very nice and clear there, with a very healthy
Good role.
kind of crossover in the middle, that we can challenge each other in like a very respectful way. But when it comes to messaging, it's actually a little bit more, maybe heartfelt is the right word, is that I don't want any Mode doctors to get in trouble for anything and risk their license. And this is going to sound callous to the Mode doctors listening. I don't actually care about the Mode doctor as much as I care about their 2,000 patients that rely on them. Because if Maddie all of a sudden can't practice medicine, or any of Mode doctors, I'm thinking more about, okay, well, shit,
Where are those people going to go?
what's Dorothy with Parkinson's going to do? Or, Mark that's struggling with his knee pain, or that person who was, clinically depressed and is now, I think about that more than
Of
the doctor.
course.
It's still horrible for the doctor. I'm being intentionally facetious here, but that's
Yep.
what I think about more.
Yep, absolutely.
So yeah, the rules are there. I get it. Sometimes it's frustrating. But honestly, Jodie, I think the most frustrating part is for the clinics like ours, that we try our best to follow everything to a T. And then you see the other ones that
Still.
aren't. And you're like, if there's the rules, they're the rules. Let's
Should
all
be
play by the
universal.
rules.
I know. And it's
So.
frustrating country to country as well.
Oh, for
I
sure.
can, it's so like, it's hard for me not to look at the other countries because I travel there and I see how they are and then they're doing okay, and so we are still so strict here in Australia for so many things. Like we're leading the way in some areas and really behind in
Definitely.
others. And it's a tricky thing.
So I thought like that for a very long time. I still do. But with specific treatments that we're known for, I look at the model in US and Canada, and from afar, it looks good. But lots of our suppliers that are there are envious of our model, because it's actually organized really well. And on top of that, when we're talking about natural therapies, or there's like a pretty common misconception that it's harmless, but we're still talking about a Schedule 8 drug,
Oh, for
which, for
sure.
anyone who's listening who doesn't know, it's the highest schedule apart from a clinical study. That's Schedule 9. So that's anything that's like experimental, and then it's us. So it's very serious. And then from seeing, I don't know how many appointments now, the hundreds of thousands, I estimate, things don't always go right.
No,
And it's not
not at
for
all.
everyone. And that's the same with any treatment. So there's a part of me that's really torn, that I respect the model and how strict it is. Because if you do want to access this type of medication, there's some pretty clear rules on who it's for, who it's not for. And when
Absolutely.
it's safe and managed right, epic. There's some really amazing things happen.
For
But
sure.
also, when it doesn't go right, we need that safety net for the people who need it the most.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think very similar, landscape with naturopathy
Mm.
and herbal medicine and, the Western herbal medicine is that a lot of people will come and be like, oh, I need some passionflower. I'm like, yeah, or I need to screen for medications, drugs, interactions, dosages. Is it suitable for you? Because cannabis is such a powerful medicine, then there is risk still. And that's why, like, I find that to be an amazing thing. We're working with this beautiful plant medicine, but we need to have someone qualified to look after it to help you. And same with all of the herbs as well. And people don't, I don't think, quite realize that because it's that generally the doctor giving the pharmaceutical that everyone knows has risks and has symptoms and has things that need to be monitored for. They think about all this stuff as like, ah, we'll just
Whatever, it just
throw it at the
grows.
wall and see, it's all good.
When
But
you boil it
no.
down, the same for me, any medicine is a medicine. If you really want to get down to it, everything's natural.
Everything's a medicine.
Like you look at opioids, that's a
Oh,
plant.
yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
there's a lot of strict rules there. So I look at everything in the same lens. If there's a doctor prescribing any first line therapies, they need to look for contraindications. They need to make sure that this is clinically suitable. But sometimes a public misconception is like, oh, whatever, it's chill. It's like, well, sometimes, but we
We put
don't want
our
it to
own.
be.
Exactly. And you want to access this, but we are so strict here, and we don't have to be. We're not regulated in that way. But if someone comes and they haven't come to see one of us in 3 months and they want a repeat of their medicine, they have to have an appointment with us because anything can change in that time.
Heaps of stuff changes.
And so no one else that I know of has those types of ramifications or strict protocols in place. But I do it for the safety of my patients and for the safety of my practice because I want to be making sure I do the right thing. And that I sleep well at night then.
That's exactly the lens that I don't think a lot of people like to talk about that, but I think the difference between maybe Revital and Mori compared to some other places is the concern for the patient, which then adds up to higher retention. Like I know straight away if someone gets a poor experience or are prescribed the wrong thing because it was lazy or the doctor was lazy or didn't ask the right questions, well, they're going to have a negative outcome and tell 10 friends. And we've just spent so much time, money, and effort trying to get those 10 friends
And
in.
trust, yeah.
And so that's, I think it's better in the long run.
I think so. They're difficult conversations to have though,
For sure.
because we've spent the last 2 years retraining our patients and clients, because we have to be strict. Oh, why can't you just, I thought that's a bit unfair. Like, come on, it's just a, well, no, this is because of da 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 da. And we have our TGA certificates, and we are the ones that are looking after these medicines. So
It's a
then
dispensary. It's a
exactly.
dispensary, like the same as a pharmacy, same as any dispensary.
Absolutely.
Or even more, it's more of like a compounding chemist than,
So, cannabis is it's an ever-evolving industry, and it's constant at the moment, isn't it? With changes, shifts, movements, legalities. I think we're still finding our feet, and I feel like it's this really like we're never kind of secure in the cannabis world at the moment.
No.
What's your feelings on that? Because I know my feelings, because I obviously recommend cannabis a lot.
So for us, it's interesting because we can't talk about what we do.
No.
And so you've mentioned it. And that's one thing that the doctors are trained in for sure, but it has to be one-on-one, doctor, patient.
The
So
interaction.
that's on like the patient to doctor thing. And so there's lots of other treatments that we do at Mode as well, all kind of falling into the more alternative space. But there's also lots of patients that are getting kind of first line therapies because it's actually better for them. So that happens. On an industry level, it's very turbulent, very, very turbulent. There was a little bit of a time, and I think it's still continuing, and I've made a bit of a conscious effort to remove myself from the
The
industry.
politics,
And that's purely because I felt like there was a bit of like a unnecessary or not unnecessary, there was a rush to the industry and the treatment type for the wrong reasons. And for me, I was looking and having meetings and I was like, hang on, this doesn't feel medical or clinical. And the patient was never mentioned once in this conversation when we're talking about a type of treatment or medication. That doesn't feel right to me. So I've definitely pulled back a bit and just gone, okay, what do Mode doctors need to succeed? What do Mode patients need to get the best outcome? And we've stripped it right back and gone there. I think there's always talk about, like, should it be recreational? Should it not? I don't think it should be, to be honest. We as Mode have plans for both. If that was to happen, okay, great. If it wasn't, great. That's where we are now. And it sounds kind of funny coming out of my mouth, but
I agree with you.
the rec side, Mode will be totally fine. It's no worries because we're not a recreational clinic. The patients that are coming to see us for any type of treatment, they're coming for the doctor and they're
The
coming for the outcome and the support. And that's not something that you can kind of do by yourself.
No, I don't know all of the ins and outs of taking the medicine,
For
of
sure.
course.
And like the formulary is huge. Like we're nearly at 800 unique medicines that we deal with. So it's not just like, oh, let's just get another one thing. Everyone's getting the same thing. So it's really hard to replicate. The industry's scary. But it's scary because of the sharks that are entering the water. And you're like,
Back to the
oh,
sharks.
back to the sharks. And I see him. It's kind of like my little superpower. I'm like, you seem
No
sketchy.
thanks.
Not my thing. That's not what we're here for. So there's that happening. There's regulation, which depends on what side of the bed I wake up on, if I'm for that part or not. Overall, I'm really for it.
You are.
But I think I'm craving for stability.
Yeah,
I'm craving
I
for
agree.
here's the rules from advertising through to prescribing. Here's the rule for all treatment types because it's that's one that you've mentioned, but there's so many more
Other than, yep.
that there's the same confusion or blur.
Fluidity.
Yeah, that you're like, okay, is there a time where we can like where context is important? And unfortunately, with the rules, there's no space for context. And so that's probably the most frustrating thing for me. Because
Interesting.
I've seen things, and not with Mode, I've seen other really good doctors stop practicing completely because they're so fed up with it and they're a good doctor. And then patients
100%.
are missing out because context was missing and they might have got in trouble for something that, if you looked at it critically, knowing the type of medicine and the style of treatment and how people react to different things, it wasn't so bad. Or, but in some cases, it was really bad. So, I know
Understood.
that's
I
answered
know.
the question
Yeah, no, it
clearly, but it's
does.
like I just want stability and it is getting there. And I think if you're just doing a really good job, you're getting really good patient outcomes, that's it. Counterintuitively for me, and this really pisses off suppliers, is that pharmaceutical brands in general want higher sales.
Course.
For me, I want people to stop taking medicine. Like, simple as that. If we can educate people that they should move their body, they should eat a little bit better, everything in moderation. Like I love a Negroni, I love a
Absolutely.
nice night out, and pizza on a Friday night with a movie. Like I'm all for it. I'm for
For
balance.
balance, yeah.
If people understood that a little bit more, and I'm definitely not perfect, I hope that was clear. I think overall the
Yeah.
outcome's better.
It's a general wellness, and I think that's where we miss it. But I'm in all agreement with you. I think regulations are important. And I see it firsthand with clients also, because I'm the one saying, look, I think you should give this a try. And then for me to have a team and to have a village look after a client that I love dearly and that I know is going to be well looked after, and you have different touch points of people with different recommendations and viewpoints and ideas and care factors, and then just because it's that medicine doesn't mean that you're not going to get other ideas and other
Totally.
perspectives. So I think as many people as you can see as a team that you trust or as your village, you're going to get the best support as
Definitely.
possible. And so if you miss out on that with recreational use, and then from me as well, my perspective is the quality of the product. Because I deal with a lot of products here and I'm so picky on the quality of the product. And this way, we're guaranteed the quality of a product
For sure.
and the dosing correction, or the correct dosing for those products, and to know what they're getting, to know what excipients are in there. With other recreational components, it may not be like that.
Probably not.
You
No.
know, so again, it's like that industry standard, that regulation point from a quality perspective, not even from a dosing and a care point perspective.
And I think that a really interesting thing that I'm seeing across multiple different treatments is that suppliers are, it almost feels like a race to the bottom. And so, medications across the board are getting cheaper, but sometimes it's getting cheaper because quality is
These
reducing.
pillows, yeah.
And so sometimes things will land on my desk and I'll look at it and go, wow, that's like really great for a patient, I guess, savings.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to save a heap of money. That's great.
Yep.
And then when I actually read through, I go, well, it's just not as good as that one.
Yeah.
And they might use far less of that type of medication and
Yeah.
be actually cheaper over a year.
Exactly.
But, the bill
The
today
front bill,
is,
yeah.
but sometimes, really, we're talking about $10.
Yeah.
We're not talking about $2,000. We're talking about
Yeah.
small amounts,
Yeah.
but small amounts do add up.
Yep.
But it's the un it's the hidden things.
But
I was
it's the
like,
quality of the treatment and what they're getting out of that treatment.
definitely,
Yeah.
yeah. I kind of see. I look at things. I hate the word holistic, but it really is holistic.
Is there not a
Is
better word for it? I've tried to
I
find a better word
know.
than
Let
holistic.
me know if you find
Yeah,
one.
I haven't.
It's nothing because it does really fit.
I feel like a wellness almost, but it still doesn't like whole. But yeah,
It
I have the same
doesn't.
problem.
Yeah, I'm like, I hate it because it's overused.
Yeah.
But when I see like my personal, so like I'm a patient and obviously I own and run the company. I look at my own spending habits. So if I'm getting really good sleep, I typically wake up earlier. I exercise in the morning. If I, just and I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm going for a walk. Like go for a nice walk with the dog. Happy days. I'm more likely to make better decisions through the day. So the holistic approach on my wallet is I slept better. Because of that, I made better decisions. I didn't go and get a croissant or, something in for breakfast. I had something a little bit better. And then lunch, like, and it trickles on. I'm
Or have the
more
energy to make your own food and do
make your own
things
food,
or make
whatever it
better
is.
decisions about what you're gonna eat.
Exactly. And so then if I holistically look at my bank account at the end of a month of like everything lining up, I'm far better off. Alcohol consumption comes down, all those things kind of come down because of a treatment that costs $10 more today, but saved me $1,000 later.
Absolutely.
So it depends how you look at it. I do.
Hindsight.
Here's a little bitch. I
Awesome.
get really frustrated with every now and then something might happen. It'll be a complaint about price or something like that. And I'll cruise down and see some friends at the pub and I see the same people buying jug and jug and jug or pint after
I
pint. And
don't
I'm
have all the
going,
money.
yeah. And I'm like, looking at the person, man, no wonder you feel like shit. Like,
Yep. And that's
man, you
where all your
wouldn't want
money's
to pay
gone.
for your medicine. But, oh,
And
man,
I me
everyone, I'm
too.
not, it sounds so judgy. I know it is being very judgy.
Yeah. But
But I'm
it's
kind of looking at it going,
priorities are
man.
different for people.
Yeah. And it's escapism.
Yes.
It's escapism,
Exactly.
which is important as well.
Yes.
So I can't get angry with them because they're being social and that's really important. One of
Yeah.
my pillars is like community and social connection.
Absolutely.
So that's great, but far out, man.
We can make better choices.
Yeah, you can
Because
still do
like you
that.
said, it's the ball rolling, right? You make that choice, and then you wake up and it's not great, and that's the only escapism you've got because you've got no
Just
energy to
go
think about something
again.
else. And the habit's set in stone then. So I know close to your heart is patient care, obviously. We've discovered that. We know that. But I know there's something that's come out recently that you've done in terms of wellness, in terms of meditation, all this stuff. I'm not sure if you want to talk about that because I hear about it from the doctors in here,
Okay,
and
cool.
that you've just recently changed over.
Yeah, we've changed a few things. So as a kind of scope, Mode as a clinic, so it's Mode Healthcare, with the clinics that I mentioned. We then found that there were so many things that our patients should do and once, and typically the patient journey is they come in a little bit skeptical. There might be some stigma involved. We smash that out of the park, earn their trust, and then we start suggesting other things. And the other things aren't, would you like fries with that for more money? It's, have you ever thought of breath work? Hey, do you know how to meditate? Hey, have you ever considered yoga? And it's not from like a woo-woo place. It's from a place of you've got mobility issues. When's the last time you stretched? Hey, here's just a mobility stretching class. So what we did is we started a thing called the wellness department. And wellness department is very simple. We've got Jess, who's one of our care managers in Dunsborough and also a yoga teacher. Just rented a studio. We filmed three different yoga flows, edited it really nicely, chuck it online.
Beautiful.
Same with meditation and breath work with Callie, who's another Mode practitioner. She's a somatic therapist. And so we've got maybe eight episodes up for our first little attempt. And people, it's just a nice add-on for our doctors to go, hey, here's your medication treatment plan, really good to see you.
Yep.
Also check out this because it might be good. So that's nice. I don't want to build it into like a full-on online yoga thing because there's yoga studios. And like I said, the social element is really important. So I see this, pardon the pun here, as the gateway drug to being confident enough to go to Pilates or yoga, go for a walk, go for a run. You don't need to spend money for these sorts of things. So that was kind of invented. Then we have like a really big influence with music, Maddie and I, very kind of selfishly. So we're always talking about records and music. So we just started a little thing called Sound Healing and we talk about records, and I selected 10 records and present them to Maddie. We're about to film the next episode, which is him doing the same to me, and we're going to invite different people to do the same thing.
That's that's what drew me to you guys right at the beginning. When you first opened and we reached out, I was like, wow, these guys are cool. They're talking about music and soul. And I just loved your marketing. I was like, yeah, these are the people I need to be around.
I'm glad it worked because that's really a point. And back to the start is if you can connect with someone, maybe we'll share a bit more. And if we can get a doctor can own, this is what I realized at the start. And it was because I was filtering my answers to Maddie. Because he was the one that turned around and said, Geordie, you've got PTSD. And I said, no, I don't. I didn't go to war. I've got a pretty chill life.
Not a vet. Not
like,
a veteran.
You know, I'm good, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're an idiot. And he explained to me what it is. And from that, I really earned his trust. And the way that he approached it, I was like, oh, you can only act on what I say. And you know me well enough to call me out. But with a patient, you can't go bullshit.
Well, some you can.
After a while. Because you've earned their trust.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it was, how do we speed that up? And so it's really cool when people roll in with records, and they that happens all the time, and we get people send songs and all the rest of it. Talking to a DJ at the moment about making monthly mixtapes. So I'm trying to expand on that because we can advertise the heck out of that, and that's nice.
But it really just brings the person to the business. And I think that's for clients, patients, for practitioners seeking out your help. It just makes that personal touch point. And it's just like, oh, we're people. Oh, we're actually people. It's so important.
It is. So there was those two things. So clinic, those two things. Then there's this third thing that happened, which was people kept asking for merch. Oh, hey, I feel so good. Can I buy that t-shirt? And so it started with, I think I just made some t-shirts for our team. I think we had a little event or whatever it was. And then I just made a few extra and we just give them to people. Oh, sweet. So now we started a thing called Mode Bodega. I'm not sure if you saw this. So the Bodega is our corner store of the internet. So kind of pulling the piss out of New York bodegas. But that's because Maddie did his emergency training residency in New York, emergency departments. And the word's cool. So I like Mode Bodega. On there we have supplementation. We have everything from genetic cancer and heart, cardiovascular health genetic testing kits with Eugene Labs. We've got a partnership with Ultra Human, so like a bio tracking ring, similar to an Aura, I think you saw.
I've seen
So there's those records. First or Nothing is like an enhanced protein. So creatine, protein, methylated B vitamins, all in your kind of post-workout. So it's in-house. We've got a cool little partnership and some events coming up with First or Nothing. What else? There's another few cool ones. Whatever. There's fun stuff happening there. Now, the big one, I'm not sure if you've seen, is called Grow House. You seen this?
No.
Okay. There's another thing.
Lots more news than I thought was coming.
A huge challenge that we've found in our business is that because we're super nerds when it comes to treatment types and products, our doctors write scripts for very specific things. And so that formulary comes from a lot of study from Maddie and I and deep diving different treatments and what they do and what's beneficial for. And as our data increased with the amount of patients coming through, we'd run little experiments. So for me, everything's a game of probability. For patients in front of a Mode doctor and they're getting prescribed a new treatment for the first time, it's really important that the chances of it succeeding is as high as possible. It's not a just like, give this a shot, mate. See you later. It's no, we're going to start with our greatest hits. If that, you know, number one doesn't work for your sleep or pain or whatever it might be. Okay, let's go number two. But number one is prescribed because that helped 90% of people. The 10% it didn't, we went here. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, we went here. So that's kind of how we worked. Now we're at like 785 different medication types. Ish, something like that. Of the total in Australia for one specific treatment, there's 2,500 types of medication. So I've kind of filtered through all of that and picked for quality and making sure that when a patient presents in front of a Mohs doctor with certain indications, they can quickly go, oh, great. Geordie said something about this. Spreadsheet type, insomnia, dunk, 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 and it will help us filter our formulary to write a script.
Shortening the time.
Great to get from problem in front of you to writing a script. New challenge. We send you to a pharmacy down the road with this script. Good luck getting that super intricate small product, because in some
Don't fuck
cases,
up.
only a small amount came to the country. So we wrote a script because we've met the suppliers, the growers, the whole food chain,
Chain,
so to speak, and we're really happy with it. And I'm talking from what's called medium dirt. So I'm interested in what's the dirt all the way through to
Yeah,
you going to the
because
pharmacy.
they're recyclers. They take in all the,
That's where
I
it
mean, they,
is, right? So there's that. Now, we had this huge problem is that we'd spend all this time and effort of people coming to Mode, we'd write a script for something we truly believed in, and then they wouldn't come back. And I went, and this was years ago, I'm like, what the heck's going on? So I'd pick up the phone and be like, hey, you didn't come, you
Check in on
canceled
you.
your appointment. I'm just checking in. Like, you don't have to come, but I'm just genuinely, I'm the CEO, I'm just really interested. Are you really well? Are you really sick? You don't need it anymore? Any of these answers are correct. I just want to know. And what took me a little while to figure out is they weren't getting the medication that the doctor prescribed. When they got to a
Frustrating.
pharmacy, the pharmacist didn't have it, and they'd substitute it to something that they thought was similar. But they might just look at the strength or the milligrams and they're comparing that. Whereas that's almost like the last thing that we're looking at. Like, it's very important, but we're looking at every other component of that medication. So about 2 years ago, we connected with a really amazing dispensary and pharmacy partner in Melbourne who agreed that if I share with them my formulary, they would make sure that they had it. So really
Awesome.
amazing for them. And so then a patient would present in front of Mohs doctors and they'd have the option. Here's your script. Good luck. Or would you like our team to just help
Send
organize
it.
this and have it delivered for you? So we did that for the first, I think we've done about 30,000 deliveries, like
Goodness.
huge numbers. Think about the tracking numbers. So it's like tracking numbers. Oh, I've put this address instead of that address. Oh, can I swap it to this? And so from that, over the last kind of 3 years, we figured out we need a system for this. And then 2 weeks ago, we launched Grow House. So Grow House is our internal patient portal for now, where all Mode patients have their medications uploaded into Grow
And
House.
can access it.
They can access it, they can add to cart. We also upload their treatment plan, their titration schedules, and they can click yoga, breath work, and then on their phone straight away do their
It's
classes.
an app.
Yeah. So it's all there, and they can click Bodega and they can buy any of the over-counter stuff or a hat or a tote bag or a pin or a record. So it's kind of the world of Mode is now living in a thing called Grow House. And the reason why it's not called Mode's Patient Portal is that it's so powerful. I don't want to just make it exclusive for Mode patients. We as a clinic aren't big enough to treat every patient in the country. I don't want to. I actually want to see less patients and increase the time so that the patient that really wants 45 minutes with a doctor can get it. But the commerce is there, and our team is really amazing at helping patients, the care team, I call them, make sure they get their medication. And it doesn't end there. Hey, I got it and I'm not sure what to do, or there's an issue here, or I'm not too sure. There's the feedback. So inside of it now, there's two-way instant messaging. So all day there's messaging going like, hey, I just got this. I forgot which one's my day medication, which one's my night medication. So it's all in one spot.
So good.
Then, a little alert pops up and the team can look at it because there's seven people that work on that team. The whole conversation thread's there. So I could answer question
Good
one,
fucking.
and then Zoe could jump in number two, then Madison, Paris, Sarah, Jess, do, 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 do. So anyone can kind of help the
Consistent
patient
care.
and it's quick. Because in the past, the question would come in and we'd go, okay, hang on, can I just put you on hold 1 second? Slack. Hey, did anyone talk to Jody? She's on the phone and she says she spoke to someone, can't remember the name, and we got to wait. Oh, it was me. Cool, I'll transfer you through. Boom. And then it's just customer record management. Our CRM system is really difficult in medication, in healthcare, because in our practice management system, for us to keep notes, it's a new appointment. So then if you called 10 times in between an appointment, there's doctor's clinical notes And then Jody called, confused about day meds.
Yeah.
Next one. Oh, that wasn't an appointment either. That was, I want to change this. Or to, so yeah. It wasn't right. So yeah. Now we've developed the home thing. So now there's three areas. Mode healthcare, clinics. All that stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
Cool, but kind of throw it out. Yeah. Grow house.
Yeah.
It all lives in one space. So I think in about 6 months, we're only 2 and a bit weeks in now.
Yeah.
In about 6 months' time, we'll start opening that up to other practitioners that want to take the risk or are really interested in prescribing not first-line therapies and want to learn. And I'm trying to develop a program where a traditional doctor that works at the family practice that isn't set up for this type of alternative care model could be trained by us and still work there. That's no worries. But hey, if you're going to prescribe this sort of stuff, here's the brands that we believe in, and here's the reasons, and here's all the education that we can provide for you. And when you write the script for the patient, let them know that Grow House is there, because if they go locally, chances are they're not going to have it. You're going to get a phone call. It's going to go back and forth with pharmacy forever.
Yep.
Grow House is here and the support's there, and you only have to deal with one of us.
So good.
So that's the dream. So it's been really big. It's been huge. We've had a few false starts.
I can imagine. Apps are huge things. I've been wanting to do something like this for a long time and never did, because the resources, it's huge.
It's massive.
And time.
Yeah. So I partnered with a developer so that we could do it.
Just right. Incredible.
Yeah. And I'll tell you quite honestly, the false starts of people, you know, wolves in sheep clothing, where it all sounded really good, almost too good. And then I started scratching the first surface. I was like, that's not compliant. That's not compliant. Hang on. They Didn't said it was, but that isn't.
Yeah.
So the system will work, but in the chance of an audit, we're talking about medical records and credit card numbers. So we need to make sure that it's all locked down.
You are.
So, yeah, I've had like so many launch dates fail. And at the last one, I was like, hey, I think we're going to launch on this date. And they're like, you think? I'm like, I don't know. It could be the day before, or day after. Yeah. Who knows? But hopefully before Christmas.
Congratulations.
But thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Patients seem to love it. There's about 1,000 people that have already adopted. So now the mission is getting the, there's, you know, 11,000, another 10,000 to jump across. Of course.
It's going to take time, though. If it's just, you know, every appointment, they'll just cross over.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So good.
So that's where we're going. Oh, and all of it, the whole thing is just continuity of care.
It is.
And just making sure that, because there are times with all medications that it might be out of stock.
Yep.
Or it might just be, oh, hey, it's a 5-day delay from a distributor to a pharmacy to then be sent out. But in those 5 days, plus 2 days shipping, 7 days, the person's now left for work because they work FIFO. So if there's going to be a swap in medication, it needs to come from the doctor or someone who knows what they're talking about, because like for like doesn't really exist in our world. It's kind of like, I like to explain it like wine. Like, okay, cool, you've got that Pinot, you know, Pinot Noir, and it's 11%, and then you have a Chardonnay that's 11%. They're both 11%,
it's not the same,
but they're
taste.
Very different things.
We have the same with our herbs, you know. We don't really have like for like, you know, so that's why we all have to be on there if we need to have a replacement. You know, our own patients will have to be looked after by their care providers.
Which is the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it feels mean as a patient. No, you can't do that. I know it's right there in front of you. I know you think it's the same, but it's not.
That's
a downer. You need an uppie. You know, that's how I like to explain it to you.
But it's re-education, and I think that I really love this conversation for so many reasons, but I think it's this changing healthcare that we need to have more conversations around, the continuity of care, the patient care and the patient touch points, and making them feel safe and respected and actually have that team behind them of professionals like us in the thick of it, and just knowing what it takes to get there, and also what it takes to feel like you're not cared for. Because it's the most horrible thing to be felt alone and not to have an option, and you don't know what to do for your health. And I just love what you're creating. It's so cool.
Do you
go
know what
grow
I think,
us.
What I think the biggest outcome that any of us could have is helping patients understand that they've got the power and they can ask that question. And if, often I see patients far too scared to ask a question of their doctor, thinking that it's, you know, the white coat fear. But often we'll see a patient come in, they might say something in, you know, a foyer or a waiting room to me, and then they go in and they cruise out, and I go to the doctor hey, what'd you do about this? Because I was just generally interested. Oh, they didn't mention it. And I go, mate, you back here. Can you tell them what you told me? Oh, I didn't think it was relevant. I mean, it was so relevant. So I think there's that. And then also you can fire your doctor. You don't have, if you
Absolutely.
don't connect,
Yeah.
if you're not getting
You're
the
the one
outcome,
hiring them.
exactly.
They're your care provider.
Yeah. Like imagine if you went to the same restaurant every time and it was always shit food and you always felt sick. What, you just keep going back? It's like, it's
Exactly.
crazy. You
But
can say, you
they're
know
too
what? No,
scared
they're too
to.
scared. And I think that society, we've put
Absolutely.
like,
It's a
we've put people
pedestal.
on pedestals. And I know it sounds mean to doctors, but I'm not being mean to doctors. I just think
The
that a
system.
doctor would do a better job with a patient matched with them.
Of course.
And
And more
like,
compliant and open.
yeah, like straight away, Maddie and I connect. I've got other doctors that, as a personal, that's not my type of doctor, but I know that it goes every way.
There's so
So,
many doctors for so many different types of people for
exactly.
all the right fits. So you don't have to be with the wrong fit because there's so many different options.
So I like to, most clinics try to fill their books up due based on availability. Admittedly, we do sometimes as well if someone really needs to get in. But number one is a little bit of a
Map for them.
vibrating,
Of
which,
course. My referrals that I make for my clients to people is based on people that I know that I will know that they're going to feel safe with. It's the only way I refer. I know the people. And I'm generally booking with those people to know what they're like first.
And that's the
It's the
way
only
to,
way I do it.
we also have like our care team. They're so amazing. They'll have a conversation after every initial consultation. So like, hey, patient, how was that? Like, I'm going to be your care manager. If you need anything, there's a few of us, but you can always ask for me. How did it all go?
So good.
And they're like, and Dr. So-and-so was good. Yeah. Oh, didn't connect. Nah, not really. I've, for whatever reason, no worries. Let's get you in with this person next time. Like,
Giving the options.
and we're kind of, I'm blessed enough that my doctors understand that. And sometimes the doctor go like, hey, I think they're got to be actually a better suit for you. You're into the same things. You're from the same place. You're, what?
You're going to get better care. You're going to get better healing. You're going to get better outcomes for sure.
So
Love it.
yeah, fire your doctor if they're not the right people.
It's so true. And I think we need to hear more of that, plus everything else we've had in this conversation. It's been a goldie. I love it.
Cool.
Thank you so
Yeah,
much for
thank
today,
you. Thanks for
Jordan.
having me.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. And let's do this again.
Cool,
Well, there's
let's
going to be
do
more of each other anyway.
it. I know.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.